I'm Tom Temin along with Amy Morris, and we want to welcome you to our monthly Federal Drive discussion. Our topic today is Agencies on the Move, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
And whether for base realignment and closure or refurbishments or facility upgrades, entire agencies are moving. Today we are talking with the managers who are responsible for planning those smooth relocations. We'll be exploring the best personnel, technology, and facility strategies.
Joining us this morning are George Jacobson, the CIO of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, TIGTA, and Lou Williams, the Project Executive for GSA's National Capital Region. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Mr. Jacobson, let's start with you. TIGTA is moving a few blocks. Tell us the background and origins of why this is happening and some of the particulars about the goals for this relocation.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me to be here. What's the expression? A long-time listener, first-time participant. So on behalf of TIGTA, thank you for the opportunity.
Great to have you here.
The Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration has a mission that's like no other IG in the federal government. And I think it's important to give you a little bit of background about our organization before we actually get into the move specifics. Specifically, our mission is to provide integrated audit, investigative, and inspections and evaluation services that promote the economy, efficiency, and integrity in the administration of the Internal Revenue laws.
Mm-hmm.
So more directly, we are specifically tasked with oversight of the IRS. That's the simple explanation. Their role as the tax administrator for the United States of America is critical to our survival. And so our mission states that we're auditing their activities and ensuring that we're giving fair treatment to taxpayers, that they are good shepherds of the funding that is provided to them. But at the same time, we have a collaborative relationship with them, where we are assisting in the investigation of threats that have been carried out to IRS employees as part of their job responsibilities. And so to say that we have a complex relationship would be an understatement of high order. So what we are interested in trying to accomplish as a group is, how do we manifest that relationship in our working environment on a day-to-day basis? What does our workflow look like? And to your specific question, as an organization, we've been in the same space since we came into an existence of 1998. So our lease is expired. We're now on the clean slate objective or platform in terms of being able to design that space reflective of our mission as we move into the new space. So I think it's important for us to understand that what we are seeing as part of our new space is a physical manifestation of the lessons we've learned as part of our telework experience, our environment, our culture, and our workflow. So we're in a very good spot from the standpoint of having the opportunity to incorporate all of those lessons. We're an organization of 862 people. We've embraced the notion that telework or work is what you do. It's not where you go every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so 80% of our workforce is telework enabled, and better than 50% of those folks do it on a full-time basis.
You may have touched upon something that would explain the complications that may arise when it comes to something like this. And that is, you said we want to make sure we design the space to make it meet our mission and to help us do our jobs better. We're not just talking about slapping up four walls and some cubes.
Right.
It's much more complicated than that, depending on who you are and where you're working.
Absolutely. I have a cousin who's a doctor, and when they moved into new space, they sat down with the architect and said, well, here's how we interact with one another. Here's how the work flows within our space. We're no different as a federal entity. And I think we can learn lessons from the private sector in that regard in terms of incorporating that thought process into what we're about.
And by the way, just tell us exactly what your address is now, where you're going, so people can get a mental picture within the district.
Well, we're on 15th Street, directly across the street from the Washington Post. And we're going to be moving to 14th and H into a very nice facility that's located there.
Okay, so 15th and L to 14th and H.
Right, it's only a few blocks, but it might as well be halfway around the world with all the logistics that you have to incorporate, and I'm sure that my colleague here from GSA can speak to that in far more authority than I could. But it is a move that is designed to put us not only closer to Treasury, but also to our subject, the IRS, who's over at 1111. So,
okay, and Mr. Williams, yeah, the GSA, as well as more people go up to visit that building. I was there for the first time a couple of weeks ago on First Street Northeast. That's part of a, I guess, temporary quarters and part of a very large effort at GSA. And people are starting to talk about those new facilities. So tell us what GSA is up to and what the end game is for your move.
Sure. Well, Amy and Tom, thank you again for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. This is a very exciting opportunity for the GSA, for both the National Capital Region and the National Headquarters, to be have the opportunity to be over at 1275 First Street. The reason that we're there is we are in the process of modernizing our 1800F headquarters for the first time since the inception of GSA in 1949. So it's a wonderful historic building built in 1917, and we moved approximately 1,400 employees out of the building to 1275 First Street to start the modernization. So we looked at that temporary facility, and we said to ourselves, this is a wonderful opportunity to, as Amy said, instead of just putting up some walls and putting up some partitions, why not really look at this as being a model space, as a lab space to really go in and try some ideas or concepts, design principles for our 1800F facility, which will be a very long-term build-out. So this lease is about 7 years over at 1275 First Street. And we really tried and looked very closely at every aspect of design, construction, and the workplace. So it's a very efficient space. It's a very green space. We are actually seeking a LEED Platinum design for that space, which is a very tough design principle to achieve. And we're very close to achieving that. So we're very proud of our accomplishments there. We have moved about 1,400 people there. And, you know, very open environment, very vision, daylight, all important. About 87% workspace in the balance in offices.
Which building is the one with the historic? Is the 1917 building?
Yes.
The one you're moving into?
No, that's the building we are modernizing.
Well, let me ask then, with that historical perspective, how much of a priority is it to keep that? I mean, if you have to choose between something like going green and keeping something that has historical press, what wins?
Well, you can really achieve your goal in both locations. So you can create a very modern facility within a historic facility, which is what we're looking to do. So we are looking to bring out the best of the preservation in our historic structure, as well as on the inside, bring out the best of our modernization. So make a very efficient space, a very efficient IT layout, open workspace. We can do all of that within that historic structure. But the temporary location happens to be in a brand new facility, so we're also seeing what works best there as well. So it's certainly our goal. We can coexist in both locations. We can really do the same thing. And it's important for us because, as you know, the GSA is the largest land real estate group in the United States. And within the D.C. market, we have about 96 million square feet that we manage. And it's the whole range of historic property to a new facility. So we are looking to really use that 1800F modernization as a model for future work in all types of properties.
Also, looking at your new building, my impression was that it interior was functional, decent looking, but not lavishly built out. Is that a pretty good way to describe the way federal buildings, especially in this day and age, ought to be?
Sure. We really looked at, from a design, we have to keep in mind our budget. So we had a very fixed budget, and we wanted to do the most we could with that space. And again, we could have easily done a plain vanilla, but why not test some concepts? So we really we went to a very, you know, a furniture solution there. So even our offices are not the traditional drywall. Our offices are demountable furniture partitions, which allows us to move, expand, and contract these offices with minimal effort, no debris created. So we really looked at all those things. Daylight harvesting is another feature that we're looking at doing over there.
Daylight harvesting is a fancy word for big window?
Well, it's taking advantage of your big window. And what we're doing is we're controlling the light within the space. So through photocells, and we're trying this out on our 10th floor there. So we're able to modulate between artificial and natural light. So we deliver the same light level on the work surface, but we're doing it very efficiently. So we may only be using 10% of our lights on a beautiful bright day and 90% outdoor light.
We are speaking with George Jacobson. He is the CIO of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, and Lou Williams, the project executive of GSA's National Capital Region. This is a Federal News Radio discussion. Agencies on the Move, brought to you by General Dynamics IT. I'm Amy Morris. Tom Temin is here, too, and we'll be right back.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris.
Federal News Radio congratulates the winners of this year's COSGIE Awards. Catherine Medina, the Executive Director of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council.
I am impressed and amazed every day at the great work that's going on in the federal government. I'm so proud to be a part of HRU and proud to be building the profession from within the federal government.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
The future of public sector workforce and workspace sustainability is a series featuring a panel of renowned government and technology industry experts, sponsored by Cisco. During this fifth panel in the series, focused on smart buildings and cloud services, panelist Gerald T. Charles Jr., Director, Office of Strategy, Planning and Operation, Public Sector, commented.
Our smart buildings are now really reflecting the change in our workplace or our workspaces. And so we've really been looking at that at Cisco as we provide a variety of solutions, not just in talking, I mean, not just in exchanging the information, you know, with IT, but how is that information exchanged? Where are people? How mobile are they? How do we really help them collaborate? How do they use video as we bring in all the human senses as we make our decisions?
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com. Keyword, work.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller.
Gwen Costin is GSA's Director of Mobile in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies.
Opening up the week of July 15th will be a much broader discussion where we're looking at how do we design that mobile future. We're really looking to have representatives and input from government, from state and local and tribal governments, industry, not-for-profits, academia, and the general public to let us know what they're looking for and how do we move forward.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
Do you know us? You count on our technology every day. The office elevator that takes you up and down efficiently. The jet engine that gets you home safely. The fire suppression system you hope you never need, but know is there. You count on things we make to protect you from harm and even to keep you cool and comfortable. Our technologies are a critical part of your everyday life. Yet many people don't even know who we are. Our name is United Technologies. We are Carrier, Hamilton Sunstrand, Otis, Pratt & Whitney, Sikorsky, and UTC Fire and Security. Six businesses united as one powerful company. In fact, we are one of the largest manufacturers in the United States, which likely makes us the biggest company you've never heard of, even though you depend on us every single day. United Technologies. Get to know more about us at UTC.com.
This afternoon between 3 and 7 on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. OPM's trying to make your health information more secure. You'll learn if they're on the right track. Your agency's performance will be under the microscope soon. Some industry chatter with Ann Reed of ASI Government. That and lots more on In Depth with Francis Rose this afternoon between 3 and 7 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion, Agencies on the Move, brought to you by General Dynamics IT on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Amy Morris with Tom Temin.
Our subject today is about how federal managers plan for smooth relocations. We're exploring the best personnel, technology, and facility strategies. Our guests, George Jacobson, CIO of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, and Lou Williams, Project Executive for GSA's National Capital Region. And we've been talking about where your guys are moving, where your agencies are moving, and why. Let's talk about some of the planning that goes on to lead to one of these moves. Let's talk about people. How do you involve people? When do you involve them? Whom do you involve? Because I imagine the thought of moving is both exciting and scary to employees. Mr. Williams, why don't we start with you?
You're absolutely right. It's critical to involve your teams. And what we did over at GSA in preparation for our move to 1275 First Street is we created a series of councils, one of them being a tenant council. And on that council, we had representatives from each one of our business units, and we moved about 14 business units over to 1275 First Street. And it was very important to keep them informed on a regular basis on our planning process, getting ready for the move, the design updates, how the space was coming together. And we also worked very closely with the Office of the Administration, with Martha Johnson and others, Bob Peck. And that was critical as well because they were very supportive of what we were trying to do, to really look at this modern, efficient workspace and to really test programs that they were championing. So the other thing that's very important, too, is as you mentioned, is from a change management perspective. We have been in this building since 1949. This is a huge move. We moved, relocated 1,400 people. So how do we prepare them for that move? And we brought in a change management consultant to work with us very closely. And set up a 12-week process where we met with each one of these tenant council members and went through a series of meetings in preparation for the move. That was one major step. We also provided numerous tours of the space for GSA employees to come over and see the space coming together from a construction standpoint, from when the furniture was being moved in, to also get accustomed to the neighborhood, see what the transportation was like, learn where the bus lines are, learn where the Metro stop was, how far is it from Metro to my office. So these were all very critical things, and we ran approximately four tours a week to get people very accustomed to the space.
Now, of course, you're on First Street Northeast, and that's a little bit of a frontier for Washington, especially for people used to working in the inner federal core. I mean, where you're permanently located, you can, you know, step right over to the old executive office building and so forth. But that's that NoMa area is a frontier and kind of, I wouldn't say civilization runs out a couple of blocks north. But
for goodness sakes.
But it's definitely not city business, big building territory. Did that cause anxiety?
There was some anxiety there. That whole area, NoMa, really came into existence as a result of the New York Avenue Metro station. But believe it or not, in the last 5 or 6 years since that station has been put in, with ATF being the true pioneer there, there are about 15, 16 federal agencies that have relocated major groups into that area, including FERC, Department of Justice, and others. So that has become a real vibrant environment. In the last 3 years, there's been over 1 million square feet of leases per year just in NoMa. So you can imagine the population increase there. And what's been very good about that is that it has brought a lot of amenities into that space. We have a grocery store over there. We have coffee shops. So even though 1800F was kind of in the central of the federal hub, from an amenities standpoint, it's a really vibrant zone over in NoMa.
I have a question for both of our panelists. Where your priorities lie, the position that you're in, you respond to the pressure from above as well as you listen to the feedback from below. You have a lot of people that you deal with. I wonder if, is there ever a point where you have to just make the executive decision, and what is your priority for the mission?
Mr. Jacobson, why don't you answer first?
The answer to your question is yes.
There you go.
You are constantly juggling the requirements, the demands, the needs, wants, desires of all of those groups. There are administrative guidelines that we have to follow that flow from the White House. For example, we're an executive agency. We have to follow the White House directives,
right?
As do all federal agencies. We have our own internal desires. We have the needs of the individual that we're trying to accommodate. So you're trying to juggle all of these. From the CIO perspective, I also got technological exigencies that are weighing upon the organization, trying to ensure that we continue to extend our capabilities and not limit them. And so all of these are factors that have to be juggled. regardless of the entity, the incident entity, the agency.
What sort of position does that put you in, though?
Well, sometimes it can be uncomfortable, but I think to what we were talking about just a moment ago, it comes down to, you know, in retail they talk about location, location, location. Mm-hmm. Well, in situations like this, it's communication, communication, communication. In our instance, where we first started this whole process and we were trying to find the space, negotiating the contract, there wasn't a whole lot we could tell our employees. And that, you know, you could feel the tension rising. You could feel the frustration because of the lack of specific information that could be shared. But as we got through that part of the process and we knew where we were going to go, then the information could begin to flow that would begin to answer those specific questions that all of those groups had. Where are we going to be LEED certified? Where are you going to reduce your footprint? Where are you going to be accommodating of all of your ADA and technological and all the other requirements that you have? And so as we worked through that process, we found that, for example, we were able to collect some of this information. We have our own internal website where we post information about what's happening with the move. As we built out the space, we put photographs of the space as its various stages of construction. In part of the processing or planning process, we brought people in and said, well, what do you think about these color schemes and so on? So it was a collaborative effort from that standpoint, but there were some points where we just had to say,
this is the way it is.
Right.
All right, we're speaking with George Jacobson, the CIO of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, and Lou Williams, Project Executive for GSA's National Capital Region. This is a Federal News Radio discussion, Agencies on the Move, brought to you by General Dynamics IT. I'm Tom Temin, along with Amy Morris. We'll be right back.
Just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Environmental Protection Agency wants private developers to use its data to create as many new applications as they can. The agency's leaving the rules for its Apps for the Environment challenge wide open to encourage as many entries as possible. EPA says it wants to see useful, innovative ways to use, show, or combine publicly available EPA data in an app to address health or environmental problems. The challenge runs from now through mid-September.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology. Information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Jason from Buffalo writes, I have a habit of hitting snooze and not being able to get up again. Any suggestions?
You know, if you get Geico to help with your renter's insurance, it's quite easy, really. You'll know you're protecting your stuff for as little as $12 a month, which I suspect will make you sleep much sounder. Then you'll just pop out of bed rested, ready to start your day.
What he's saying is, a renter's policy is basically insurance for your snooze button.
Plus most everything else you own.
Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. This week, my special guest is Jennifer Folsom, a partner in Momentum Resources, a boutique staffing firm that helps place professionals in flexible and reduced hour roles. The show is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Next Father's Day. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Dads, congratulations on this past Father's Day. Now, about the next one. One thing you can do for your kids is to make it more likely that you'll be healthy for it. Dr. Griffin Rogers is director of the NIH's National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases. He says about one-third of men are considered obese, which makes them more likely to develop diabetes, along with heart disease, high blood pressure, and stroke. He notes that obesity is just one thing that can be controlled by healthy living.
Being more active and eating better are two very important ways dads can improve their health. Dads can also improve their physical and mental health by getting adequate sleep, quitting smoking, reducing how much alcohol they drink.
Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
How can government executives drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for tackling today's human capital challenges? Join OPM Director John Berry and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, July 11th. Register today for early bird rates, www.excelgov.com. www.excelgov.com.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikleshevsky. Fewer layoffs, that's the word from the Labor Department, just reporting jobless claims were down last week. Meantime, the Fed's policy of quantitative easing is set to expire. NBC's Amanda Drury.
Today is the day that the Federal Reserve will end its $600 billion bonds buying program, which has helped stock prices and also helped to keep interest rates low.
June has become the deadliest month for U.S. troops in Iraq in 2 years. The military says three Americans killed yesterday, 15 in all this month, all but one killed in combat. Smooth sailing for General David Petraeus when the Senate votes on his nomination as CIA director later today. The president's point man in Afghanistan returning home to take over the intelligence community. And over 100 turtles brought everything to a screeching halt on a major runway at New York's JFK Airport. It took crews a half hour to gently relocate them. As one tabloid put it, get the shells out of here. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Mikleshevsky, NBC News Radio.
How do we celebrate summer? Saving money with e-values.
Member Nicole Recker on the Sam's Club e-value saving celebration. June 29th through July 4th, save on top of already low Sam's Club prices, like $50 off a Samsung 40-inch LED TV,
$2 off artisan fresh chicken sausage, $1 off seedless watermelon,
and more. Not a member? Join June 29th through July 4th. Get the money-saving benefit plus members enjoy all year. E-values at Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership, no rain checks.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
Stop by Ace this July 4th weekend and get $10 off Royal Paint after mail-in rebate.
The weekend is coming!
And quickly turn your painting to-do list...
The weekend is coming!
...into a to-done list.
The weekend is coming!
So visit your local Ace and get saving, then get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. 4-gallon rebate limit on purchases made July 1st through 4th.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
See store for additional conditions and limitations.
Good morning. It's 9:33. Welcome back to the Federal News Radio discussion, Agencies on the Move, brought to you by General Dynamics IT here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin, along with Amy Morris.
And we're talking about how federal managers plan for smooth relocations. And we're exploring the best personnel, technology, and facility strategies. We are speaking with George Jacobson, the CIO of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, and Lou Williams, the project executive at GSA's National Capital Region. And because we mentioned technology, I wanted to ask, and I'll start with you, Mr. Williams, about the opportunity to incorporate technology, telework, and some of the other things that you're incorporating into your new facility. Does this move provide more of an opportunity to beef up the IT in all the different ways GSA can use it?
It's actually a wonderful opportunity for that, and we took advantage of it. We worked very closely with our OCIO at the headquarters as well as the National Capital Region to really plan and design a very comprehensive system for our 1275 First Street location. One of the things we did is certainly looking at telework, or as we now are looking at mobile workforce, is we wanted the ability for people to be able to move very easily within the building. So one technology we rolled out was voice over IP. So we introduced that at our 1800F headquarters prior to the move so that it would really facilitate and ease the move over to 1275 First Street. It's a plug-and-play approach. It's like it's a voice-over IP phone. It really saves you dramatically in costs on an annual basis, but it's easy to move. Unplug it, put it in your box, bring it over to the other facility. The other thing we did is we introduced wireless access points. So our whole 1275 First Street building is wireless. We do have the standard connection as a backup, but we also have wireless throughout the space. So we could run that whole building wireless, or you could have a combination of plugged in or wireless. But what that does is it allows us to move in the building. It allows us to be in a conference room with 20 people, have your laptop there, all be opened up and working wireless. We have a very robust signal there. So it really starts the challenge, why do you need to wire a building?
Yeah, because it's wireless.
You're exactly right. And why spend the money? Because the signal is so strong. It's also secure, which is very important. So it replicates the security of your network, because there's always that concern for the different federal agencies of their varying security levels. But the system actually will replicate your security. So it really has worked out very well for us.
Is that something that could translate to TIGTA, Mr. Jacobson? Is that a similar experience that you've had there?
Yes and no. It's never going to be less expensive to wire your facility than when there are no walls or when the walls are open. And so we've taken the opportunity to wire everything in our plant. We have, for example, replaced our old analog switch with a new digital switch that will allow for convergence, but we're not converged. We'll have many of the same capabilities where you can forward your number, have a follow me kind of capability available to you, but it's not going to reside on the same network as our data. On the, as it relates to the wireless technology, being a law enforcement agency, we're a little more conscious of this. I'm a security, IT security professional, in my background, so I'm a little more cautious about this. Tom and I have talked about it on other occasions. And so what we have decided we're going to do is we're going to wirelessly enable some of our conference rooms or all of our conference rooms and some of our training rooms in the new facility so that you can pick up and move, not necessarily tethered, but that hard connection is there for you. The other aspect of this is, again, starting from the clean slate, we can design the facility to better accommodate our workflow and put things in the right place, as opposed to trying to jam things into closets or space that was never intended to house the kind of equipment we're talking about. So whether it's a phone switch or a data switch, we now have the opportunity to put all that in the right place. And so we're taking that that vision and applying it as it relates to all of the holistic elements related to the workflow. And so it's a slightly different approach to the same thing. We're going to end up, I think, in the same place over time. The wireless technology has gotten more secure, and we're applying some of our own technology on top of it to ensure that. But we haven't taken the plunge just yet.
It is 9:38, and we are speaking with George Jacobson, the CIO of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, and Lou Williams, the Project Executive at GSA National Capital Region. This is a Federal News Radio discussion, Agencies on the Move, brought to you by General Dynamics IT. I'm Amy Morris. Tom Temin's here, too. We'll be right back.
Who watch over the skies, it says the enemy can't see you. To the Marines who carry out their mission on the ground, it says I have your back. To adversaries, it says don't even think about it. It is the F-35B, the fifth generation multi-role fighter jet that combines short takeoff and vertical landing capability with supersonic speed and radar evading stealth. The F-35B, the multi-role fighter that's equipped to go wherever Marines must go. Wherever the mission takes them, our Marines know it will be there. It's the F-35B, a fighter jet that can take off and land virtually anywhere, from the most remote, austere airfields and roads to modern ships. That means it can be based close to frontline combat, shrinking the distance between base and target. For the Marines and for our nation, that's a game-changing advantage. The F-35B, the multi-role fighter that's equipped to go wherever Marines must go.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to them about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
John Barry, he's director of the Office of Personnel Management and our first winner of the second annual Causey Awards.
One of the things that I'm so proud about is our incredible team. This award that I'm accepting here, you know, with Mike's great name on it, but it's not fair for me to accept it on my own. I'm here to accept it on a team of incredible people, both career and political, who do a phenomenal job.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion, Agencies on the Move, brought to you by General Dynamics IT on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Amy Morris, and he's Tom Timmon.
Yes, and we're talking about how federal managers plan for smooth relocations. We're exploring best practices for personnel, technology, and facilities themselves. Our guests today are Lou Williams, Project Executive for GSA's National Capital Region, and George Jacobson, the CIO of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, both agencies on the move. And one of the technologies and really enablers of different work styles that seem to go with new facilities is video and video conferencing. Mr. Williams, tell us how that's working at GSA.
As part of our design for the 1275 First Street location, we really looked at our capabilities to do video teleconferencing. It was very important for us to have this offering, to also play on the fact that the laptops now have feature the camera. So in the mobile workforce, how can we roll that out, save money, save travel, and really look at our environmental footprint and the sustainable features of that? Another technology that we looked very closely at was telepresence. Telepresence was an initial idea that we were looking to communicate with our 1800F headquarters since we were going to have the team separate. We looked at it. It's a very robust approach. We subsequently rolled it out on a regional basis. GSA has 11 regions around the United States. And what a great cost-saving, time-saving feature is to all have this offering on a federal site location in each one of our major regions, where now on a Monday morning we could have a meeting with all the regional administrators at 10 o'clock and there's no travel involved. There's no wasted time involved. So very efficient workplace approach and really a huge money-saving feature.
Our approach is really grown out of our telework experience. As part of the telework package that we provide all of our employees, we have had the small cameras that are available to the individual, and part of every meeting that I've attended since I've been at TIGDA starts out with a few minutes of the water cooler conversations. Hey, you know, I see you got a new trophy on the shelf behind you there. What's that all about? Or, you know, how are the kids and that sort of thing. And what it does is it really facilitates that collaborative environment. We have the high-end video that we're planning for the conference rooms and the training rooms. So we've got all of that as well. But we also have that smaller footprint that allows for the day-to-day use. I mean, just yesterday, I was working with one of my managers on a subject, and I said, well, wait a minute, here, let me show you. And so we were able to share the desktop, bring the drawing up, and in 5 minutes' time, able to resolve the issue as opposed to going back and forth or putting somebody on a plane to say, well, no, we really need to get up here. Well, we can stand up on a moment's notice a meeting with people literally across the enterprise, across the country, and have that kind of interchange. The expression a few years ago was clicks, not bricks, and I think we're a manifestation of that. I mean, we are a law enforcement agency. We have to have physical presence. Everybody gets that. But having the ability to have these kinds of interactions on a moment's notice is just invaluable because people collaborate. Organizations don't collaborate. People collaborate.
So I guess having the voice over IP facility is one of the enablers of using video to a much greater degree?
Yes, it certainly, from the bandwidth perspective, it really helps that. So with the infrastructure we put in place at 1275, it would support that video approach, whether I want to watch CNN on my laptop, whether I want to have a conversation. If George is in San Francisco, I open my laptop and have that conversation, Or, as I said, we can have these regional meetings at a moment's notice without having to get into the time and the cost of travel.
And do people ever worry that because their laptop might be open all day and that little camera's up there in the middle of the lid, do they ever put a piece of tape over it just in case somebody's watching them?
Because the man is watching.
That's right. Well, you're not video conferencing.
I'm laughing because when we first introduced this concept or even started talking about it back in the days when I was with the IRS, there was much of that concern expressed. I can tell you that in our environment, that's just not necessarily the case. Are we being attacked by DBs here? Is that
first floor studio, we have landscapers outside. And so, so the technology is in place by virtue of the infrastructure. And the other question I wanted to ask, too, is aside from video conferencing, there are people physically in the building. And as you move to a new space, are you moving to less space per person? And how do you accommodate that without making it seem like a beehive? Mr. Jacobson?
Well, our planning process started in October of 2008, and one of the first things that we did was we started to take a look at our policies and standards and establish what the responsibilities were of folks and how much space we would allocate. As a result, moving into our new space, we have approximately 13,000 less square feet than we currently occupy, yet we're accommodating the same number of full-time employees and the same number of teleworkers. And part of it is, some people would say tight-sizing, but we like to think of it as right-sizing and making sure that we've allocated the space in a way that accommodates the workflow. We have many of the features that Lou referred to earlier in terms of trying to share that exterior light, share that natural light into the interior space, and making sure that the folks that are there most frequently are best able to take advantage of that. So one of the things that we did, for example, is we moved our help desk from, I refer to them as the cave dwellers, took them out of the bowels of the building, and now they're in a place where they can enjoy some of that daylight because they're there all the time. Mm-hmm. They've got to be there to service the rest of the organization, and so why not give them the opportunity to enjoy some of that?
As you talk about the different technological advances that you're able to make because of these moves, does that require a large outlay of cash for the return on investment later? I understand that there is savings there, but do you have to put out money first to get that savings later? How does that work?
Well, from an IT infrastructure standpoint, the cost of the cable is the cost of the cable. There are varying levels of the cable. Mm-hmm. When it gets into the wireless approach, there's certainly additional funding that's required for that. But, again, to look at this space as a lab, we really want to see what works and doesn't work. To be considering the possibility of this wireless approach is working so well that maybe in the next building we do, we don't cable it, we go with wireless. It really has paid for itself because of that decision-making process.
It's sort of a self-contained lesson learned.
Right. And this is one of the real missions of what we did for the building. We, as I said earlier, we could make it plain vanilla, but why not test concepts to see if there's a better way to do it?
You know, part of what happened to us over the course of time is we started off with 86 offices. We're now down to 71. Some of the other facilities have been reduced in terms of their footprint because of some of the things that we've been talking about all morning. And so using that iterative cycle, that all of those lessons learned, back to my original comment, we think that this new space that we're moving into is that physical manifestation of all those lessons over the course of several years.
We're speaking with George Jacobson, CIO of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, and Lou Williams, Project Executive for GSA's National Capital Region. This is a Federal News Radio discussion, Agencies on the Move, brought to you by General Dynamics IT. I'm Tom Temin with Amy Morris. We'll be back in just a moment.
This July 4th, you'll be watching fireworks emit sparkling arrays of red, white, and, well, did you ever notice the blues just aren't as good? Bursts of blue fireworks just don't have the same brightness or intensity of other colors, says Washington College chemistry professor John Conkling.
In order to get a bright color up in the sky, you need high temperature, and the chemicals that emit blue light are not stable at high temperatures.
Chemists have been trying to engineer a solution for years, but Conkling says so far, no luck.
countries do have red, white, and green as their national colors. They're very fortunate. We chose red, white, and blue, so it's harder here in the U.S. to get our national colors up there in the sky on the 4th of July.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
If you're like most people, you have many financial questions, like, can I afford to retire? How do I protect my nest egg? Will I outlive my money? Hi, I'm Mark Tabron. We'll tackle these questions and more every Saturday morning at 10:30. Learn how to protect and grow your money with me, Mark Tabron, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Can't wait until Saturday? Call Tabron & Associates Financial Services at 301-773-3923.
If you're in federal IT, there's one area where you really want to do more with less. That's storage. And how do you keep storage from eating up your budget? That's simple. Buy less of it. NetApp storage is flexible and easy to manage. It also requires far less hardware, at least 50% less for virtualized environment. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency built on NetApp and delivered by NetApp partners like Swish Data Corporation. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
9:52. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion, Agencies on the Move, brought to you by General Dynamics IT on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Amy Morris, along with Tom Temin.
And our subject today is relocations and how federal managers plan for smooth moving of whole agencies. We're exploring the best personnel, technology, facility strategies. Our guests today are Lou Williams, Project Executive for GSA's National Capital Region, and George Jacobson, CIO of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. And in our final few moments, I wanted to ask you about some of the things that people really worry about, and that is cubicle design, because that actually undergoes evolution through history. Furniture. Will I have my nice chair? Will I get a new chair? That kind of thing. And also, can people personalize that new space a little bit? You know, what are the limits there? Let's talk about that, starting with GSA.
That certainly, we really focus very closely on it to make sure that our employees are happy with their work environment. The personal chair was something that we brought over. We did provide new workstations with new offices, but we did bring over personal chairs because that is something that people have grown accustomed to over time and really want to hold on to that. Personal IT was brought over, and then contents. So what's on your desk? Because of the mobile workforce, we certainly encourage it to be minimal, because if you're sitting in your seat tomorrow, you may be somewhere else in the building or in another location the next day.
What's personal IT?
Personal IT would be your laptop. It would be your monitor. Mm-hmm. So we allow, you know, we want you to bring that, bring your phone as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in our circumstance, we have what is generally referred to as hoteling space. And so you can go online before you show up at the space, reserve it. If you need a conference room, you can reserve a conference room and so forth. You'll even know what that phone number is going to be or that station, so you can forward the phone number to that station. And in those circumstances, you're limited in terms of how much you would want to personalize it. For those that are there, obviously, on a full-time basis, there are opportunities to personalize that space and, to Lou's point, making people feel comfortable. You know, the days of moving into a new space and everything being brand new, I think, are over. In our case, we have bought very little in the way of new equipment. We're reusing our modular furniture. Most of the case goods, many of the case goods we're able to reuse. What can't be reused, we're either surplusing or properly disposing of that based upon various environmental constraints and directives. But for the most part, we are reusing this. And I think most people realize, hey, this is an opportunity. This is a watershed event for me, and maybe it gives me the opportunity to change some of my behavior, to change some of the conventional thinking that has occurred over the past years, and it's no longer business as usual. It gives me an opportunity to start anew.
And very quickly, what about disposal of files? Because you don't want to move essentially trash, even if it's nicely filed trash, but then there's also records retention, so how do you handle that?
We went through a very robust paperwork management program. We actually had a team from each one of our business units that was there, and we went through a full scanning, shredding, recycling effort to get rid of paper. And it really worked fantastic, to the point where we probably have 30 to 40% of empty file cabinets as a result of it in the new space.
Yeah,
and
we've experienced exactly the same thing. We've had, I believe we're in our third or fourth cleanup day. And each time it gets a little bit more difficult because you think you have reached that point of no return and then you find something else. And so, you know, we look at the narrow standards and legal directives and so forth and make sure that we're doing this in the right way.
And very, very quickly, the cleanup day, who's responsible for cleaning up? I mean, does that you bring people in or you do it yourself?
No, everyone is responsible
for their
it.
Own
we have,
little
you look
red
at
wagon.
Your own space. We have assigned people to the common areas so that, you know, we're looking at those file cabinets, council, all the folks are involved.
And that brings our discussion to a close. We'd like to thank our guests, George Jacobson, the CIO of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. Lou Williams is the project executive at GSA's National Capital Region. And you have been listening to a Federal News Radio discussion, Agencies on the Move, brought to you by General Dynamics IT. If you missed any part of this discussion, check out our website, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Tom Temin.